Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 108. And we are live tonight, as always, with video on DLive, with video on Odyssey, with video on Radio Albion, and with audio only, also on Radio Albion, for those who enjoy lower bandwidth and can't enjoy the video. So we are live in those three places. Please, if you haven't already, make sure you share the link to this show. As you know, I am one of the most deplatformed and unpersoned people in the whole world, so I am not allowed a Twitter account, a Facebook account, an Instagram account, or any form of mainstream social networking account. That means I can't share this myself, so if you can share it, that would be a great help. Now, the replays of this will be on BitChute and Odyssey. There is a full back catalogue now of all my videos on BitChute and an almost complete back catalogue on Odyssey, which I am adding to on a daily basis. And Odyssey now have a wonderful new function where I can have multiple channels and also I can date my videos as and when I need to. So they are all in the right order and I have three channels. I have my main channel with my scripted videos. I have my Mark Collett Live, which is my gaming, movie reviews, book reviews and long form live streams with questions and answers. And I also have the PWR archive, which has every single episode of PWR ever, all in HD in one place. So make sure you are following me on Odyssey as well as BitChute. Now, you can contribute to this show in a number of ways. The best way to contribute is, as always, through Entropy. Now, Entropy is a great place because you can send super chats, you can send paid donations, and all paid donations and the comments that go along with them will be read out live on the show. But you don't have to send money. You can ask non-paid questions too. And those non-paid questions are voted upon each week. The best questions are voted up and the less good questions are voted down. And we ask the best questions and all paid super chats to the panel. The other way you can contribute to my work is via cryptocurrency. And my cryptocurrency links are on my Telegram, my Gab, my Odyssey, and my BitChute. And if you don't see the one you want or you'd like to donate via bank transfer, the other way to contribute to the show is by writing to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. That is mark@thefallofwesternman.com. And I can give you any details to donate. If you watched the show last Friday, you can see things are getting a lot harder for us. And I have been kicked off another bank. So now I've had three bank accounts closed. Things are very difficult for me. So any donations are very gratefully received. It helps me keep my head above water. It helps me to do this as a full-time job. And I'm very appreciative of that. Now, the other thing I was going to say is I appeared on a live stream on Saturday night. I did a debate with Jeremy Poole from Wake Up UK. And I debated from the point of view of supporting ethno-nationalism. I'm sure Jason will be sharing links to that in the chat throughout the night. So if you haven't seen it, please go and check it out. It was a good night. I felt it very much went our way. And the chat was 99% in agreement with what I was saying, even though it was hosted on the other person's channel. So I think we made a lot of new friends that night. So thanks to everyone who was there in the chat. Now, before we introduce Jason, a couple of small pieces of business. Number one, I will be back on Friday with a scripted video on BitChute. I will be back on Sunday with the monthly Warzone tournament. That will be an Odyssey exclusive. So if you want to join in, make sure you've done the update. There's like a 17 gig update. I just checked before the show to remind people. That's a lot, but please, if you need to download it, get it downloading. Don't leave it till 5 minutes before the tournament because you won't have time. There is a whole new map. There's new characters, lots of things to enjoy. And let's try and get good numbers. I'll be sharing out links throughout the week to that. So that is our Sunday night stream. So don't miss that. So without further ado, let's get into the show. Jason, how are you doing, my friend? What have you been up to? Who's on tap? And did you see the debate?
I did see the debate and it was magnificent. In fact, we celebrated you on Sunday and we applauded you for your great success. Another victory, the undefeated Mark Collett in debating various types of scumbags around the world. So we were very excited about that. And I will be sharing the link of that video here shortly. This coming Saturday evening, I believe is what it's going to be, for the after party, the great Mr. George and I are going to be interviewing Ricardo Duchesne, And it's going to be a very intellectual conversation. So please show up with your spectacles, whether you need them or not. Also, later today at 5 p.m., I think it's later today, 5 p.m. is going to be the premiere Eastern Standard Time for Jared George, The Great Order's brand new release, a long-awaited release, a couple months now, of his next song. I've heard it, and it is kick-ass. The vocals are gritty. It's really novel. It's very exciting. The only other thing I'll say prior to the running into the show here is prior to the show today, we were rocking out, and I showed up on camera for a little bit. And so it's a We Rock, You Chat scenario. I might do that after the show as well. But I am very excited to be here with Andreas and Alan. Andreas is just such a true gentleman and champion. These are the kind of guys that when I'm talking about folks who are mature and they have a studied approach to certain ideology, political, socio-political, socio-economic and the like, these are the folks who have that mature approach. And I respect as a result. So very excited to be here with these gentlemen. And of course, the great undefeated Mark Collett after that wonderful victory. I will pass it back so we can hear from these wonderful gentlemen.
Well, thank you so much, Jason. Well, without further ado, let us introduce our special guests for the evening. These two are members of the Nordic Resistance Movement, and they present the incredible Nordic Frontier podcast. I have had the honor of working with these two excellent gentlemen twice before in the past, and I have very much enjoyed my appearances on their podcast. And I also salute their excellent work. I salute the way they present themselves and the fact that they never back down from their belief system. They never back down from defending their ideology, and they are staunch ethno-nationalists in the face of incredible state persecution. These two men are warriors for our movement. They are fantastic gentlemen. They deserve a massive PWR welcome. This is long overdue. Hello, guys. If you take a few moments, please introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your work, what you do, and plug any ways that we can support you or where we can find your excellent work.
All right, thank you for that introduction. Very nice. I'm a big fan of your work as well, Mark, and No White Guilt. We do shield for you very often on the show. It's good stuff. My name is Andreas, and I am from Sweden. I am a husband and a father of three children over here, raising young Nords. And I'm also a member of the Nordic Resistance Movement, as Mark was saying. I'm also the host of one of our English-speaking podcasts called The Nordic Frontier. And Alan then is my co-host on that show. We go live every Tuesday to talk about the situation up here in the North and about some geopolitics regarding race and also often the Jewish question. Always on the table. And I've been a member of the movement since 2015. So it's been a few years now. And the podcast itself has been running for, it's on its fifth year now. So we have, you know, been deplatformed like yourself, Mark, many times. We have had to rebuild our audience and find people again from, you know, back in 2016, you were allowed to be on Twitter. You were allowed to almost be on Facebook. That's crazy. To reach, you know, more people in the mainstream. And we were on YouTube back then as well. And it was getting harder and harder to get these people that are not aware of National Socialism. They have this mainstream version of what National Socialism is. And yeah, mentioning that, I can also mention that the Nordic Resistance Movement is a national socialist organization that has as its goal to unite all the Nordic countries into one Nordic Union, a Nordic Republic. And that is Finland, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Iceland. And that is the main goal. You can find the information about the movement on nordicresistancemovement.org. On there, you'll find the latest articles from our activities. You'll find videos and also our podcasts. We have a podcast called Leadership Perspective, where the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement, Simon Lindberg, and Fredrik Wederland talk about official stances, often to do with news articles that have been coming out and then taking a national socialist approach to a certain problem or some sort of things happening in our country. And that's a bi-monthly podcast nowadays. It doesn't come out very often, but you can find all these podcasts on the website, nordicresistancemovement.org. And we also have accounts on Odyssey nowadays. And we're pretty big on Telegram. I would say it's the best place to follow us on the social medias. It is Nordic Resistance Movement is the main channel. And we also have a Nordic Frontier channel with a chat that people can join in there. So I think that's all I had.
Yeah, so thanks for the warm welcome, guys. Big fan of both of you. Mark, I've been following your work since, God, it's so many years now, with where you've been from YouTube to every platform. And same thing with you, Jason. And while I don't catch all of your very long shows, like I don't know how you manage to go on stream for 8 hours. It's incredible endurance. But my favorite way to catch your stuff these days with all the responsibilities I have is the Alternative Voices portal that usually clips out some of your really good rants and your good bits there. Mark, I usually catch your scripted videos most often and your debates. So I'm looking forward to watching the one that you just did now that we're on summer holiday here. So yeah, and curious enough, that Alternative Voices portal has been banned in a lot of countries on BitChute, so BitChute does not stop their banning spree. So it's getting harder to listen to Jason on BitChute, unfortunately. Yeah, but a bit about myself. I've been an activist for just over 2 years now, and when you start off, you're doing more simple things, you know, stickering and leafleting, dropping banners, climbing on walls and dropping banners or holding them up yourselves, stuff like that, fun stuff like that. And, one of the co-hosts, he had to go on parental leave. So I kind of took it upon myself to tell Andreas that I would be really happy to help him out in any way. And so that's how I kind of got on board. And they did interview me before because I had some weird life stories that I thought would be fun for the show. But yeah, it was just kind of a slow thing that not something that I planned on. You know, I'm not the super slick guy that you guys are. So maybe one day I'll get up to that point of that showman level. But yeah, so much respect to all three of you for that. Yeah, and then I also help out with Aristogenesis because that subject matter is something I'm passionate about. And it was actually Neo Mike, the former co-host, who encouraged me to do a channel about those kinds of things. And then I got to talking with Tiris and Nestor, and then we decided to work together. So I just enjoy helping out however I can, basically. And yeah, I'm still we'll be doing stuff in the summer, so I guess what I'll do is try to plug Aristogenesis because that's where some of my stuff is. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And you're very kind in your praise of us. But I've got to say, I enjoy being on your podcast because you are so professional. So I don't think that we're in any way above you guys. You guys certainly produce a very, very slick show. And it's always a massive pleasure to be able to work with you. And seeing the way you present yourselves, obviously, a lot of people are going to ask, you guys are National Socialists, you're unashamedly National Socialists, you put that front and center and you wear that as a badge of honor. Do you find that difficult? And do you find that you get a lot of pushback for that from people in the movement and other organizations?
Yes, there are several different camps that are opposed to National Socialism. And obviously you have the mainstream that have been reading the mainstream media and have the anti-Hitler and anti-Third Reich, you know, mentality that will approach us, for example, in the street, and they have this aversion and they have this fear as well, because the mainstream media says that we're the most horrible people you can ever meet. And many times they're surprised that we're quite polite when we're handing out leaflets and trying to discuss with people. But sometimes they're just hysterical and it's impossible to talk to them. And then you have, like you mentioned, the nationalist sphere that are opposed to National Socialism because maybe it's too LARPy for some. They think that we can't be National Socialists because that's what they were in Germany in the 1930s, and it's a different time now. so we can't just emulate what they were doing because it doesn't work. But what I found very inspiring when I joined the movement was they had just published their political program, or our political program, called Our Path, that you can find on nordicresistancemovement.org. And we have defined a kind of Nordic national socialism that is adapted to us and the things that is relevant to where we live and what we want to create up here in the north. So it is not just drafting all the ideas from the 30s and trying to apply it into the north. It is based on how we are as a people and what's actually possible up here. And I always thought that that was a very inspiring vision, because it's something new. Even though the organization is 24 years old now, it's a new vision that has, you know, grown over time. And now it's more defined than ever in this political program. So I was very inspired by that. And that's the reason why I took the leap to actually join it, because now we have this ideology on paper, the vision that we have for the future. And that's what you can explain to people if they're willing to listen. And a lot of people are surprised that we have very well thought through ideas when it comes to both nationalism, but also the socialism part. So nationalism, obviously, for the leftist and the so-called cultural Marxist, whatever you want to call them, they are, or the anti-whites, I would say, they are averse to the nationalism part of it. But then you have the nationalists that are averse to the socialism part of national socialism. So different camps there to argue with. But I feel that the way we approach it is that we are nationalists because we are part of a people. And this is the Nordic people. And we are socialists because we love our people and we want to take care of our people. We need, when we have a government in place, we need a system that support our people and put our people first every single time. And the socialism that we have today is some kind of global, you know, everyone gets whatever they can take kind of globalism. And it's also very anti-white. So the non-whites gets always the biggest cake in this socialism that we see today. That's why people hate it. But if we had socialism, all these taxes that you're already paying would be going back to you, your family, and your people. And there's also another distinction from the Marxist socialism and the national socialism, and that is that we aim to bring up the strong in the society, to make them as strong as possible so that they can support the weak, instead of this equality, equity kind of deal where you're bringing the strong one down to the lowest level so that everyone is just as useless. That is, you know, equality. So we make that point quite clearly that there will be a hierarchy. People are different and we aim to be as best as we can. But that doesn't mean that we're going to throw away the weaker elements in society. We're going to support them. So that's kind of our socialism. So I don't know if I answered the question, but yeah, we do have a lot of discussions with different kind of people all the time. But another thing that I wanted to mention is the obvious question of the Holocaust. And the Holocaust is never like a talking point that we go out on the street and try to make a point out of, because we know it's just going to end in an argument and no one's going to be the wiser. But we do always end up in that conversation because of the brainwashing in the West. That's the one of the first places they go when they approach us. So we have that to deal with as well. And we, you know, we never back down on that question either, obviously, but we try to, you know, sow some seeds. You know, we've had this conversation so many times. It's, you know, very useless to just start a shouting war about the Holocaust. So we try to sow some seeds and make people curious about looking out for the truth themselves and all that stuff. So on a personal level, being a national socialist is obviously controversial. You know, a lot of people have arguments with their family because they're in the same kind of brainwashed media bubble like everyone else. It's from the schooling to the media to everything. So you have that to deal with as well. But for my sake, I haven't really had that many problems. A lot of friends, obviously, that weren't that close anymore, they are not around. But I feel like when you take this kind of stand for your people and you realize that you have to fight for something that's bigger than you, this is an eternal struggle for the survival of our race. Those kind of petty things, they don't really matter anymore. You just have to struggle through that, I feel. So it's always worth it.
Do you want to add anything to that, Alan?
Yeah, I just want to add that the most attractive thing about this kind of setup, this kind of ideology, is the healing effect that it has on the people. I think these days we've gone through so many years of hyper individualization and selfishness and hyper capitalism and all these things that have warped people's perspectives on, like, how do they get what out of life, and that they need to be competing in this rat race with other people. And I think that approaching this, the nationalism, as, you know, it's my people, it's my family, and then that I want to do the best for them, I'm going to sign up for this system that has requirements from me, responsibilities from me, but I know that I also get something back. I give and I get something back, and it's this beautiful cycle. And it's no more evident than what you can see on how that the healing effect it had on people in Germany, right? I remember feeling so angry when I realized how tricked I was about what happened in Germany, and those lies melted away, and I then started viewing that time and those pictures and those, you know, old movies in a completely different light. And then I realized that that kind of setup is what we need to heal our people, because we're more broken than we think, and we do need a system to really help us in the future. And so after having, you know, looked at the Nordic Resistance Movement's material before considering to help and join and all that, it appeared to me that that's what we need. We're not going to, at least in our circumstance, in where we are not going to solve it in the ways that we, the outlets that we have available to us. So just me voting for, I don't know, some Sweden Democrat or something like that is not going to heal the heart and soul of my brothers and sisters. It's going to have to be something deeper, and it can't just be only politics. It has to be something that's an ideology, and it has an element of spirituality in it. And so for me, that's what is embedded in this. It's not just politics. It's a whole package, because, like I said, people need to be healed from the inside out. Their motivations for life have to be grander than, you know, just, I don't know, getting something for them and their family and buggering off and not thinking about the other person, or going off grid and laughing that you were more clever than everyone else for getting off grid. And haha, now I got 20 cans of beans and some ammo, and look at me, I'm so goddamn clever, right? Like that's not gonna last. I want something that's gonna last and also fix people. Why? Because I love our people. It doesn't matter if they're in Greece or in Norway or in America. I love my people. So it's as simple as that. So yeah, when I was in the position to help, I wanted to join something that I thought was like the best thing in this circumstance. So yeah, here I am. So I'm very happy to plug this, and I think we'll probably get into it later, but it's this people that apply these things in the wrong way, right? And Jason's made that very clear on his streams about what the differences are. So yeah, maybe we'll get into that later. But I'll pass it back to you.
Jason, did you have a question, my friend?
Well, I guess we could run right into this, what Alan was just touching upon right there, and Andreas was mentioning as well, and that is that there's quite a difference between a formal, mature, adult study of a particular system or systems underneath an umbrella system, and how that system affects and interacts and benefits, or in cases where it also hinders, you know, acknowledging that there things can be improved even where there are systems that are believed to have functioned properly. That is significantly different than the sort of what we see largely in most places, regrettably, around the world, outside of, I guess, these countries like Sweden and Scandinavian countries, this sycophantic, poorly cobbled simulacra of a particular period in history. And it's just like this childish imitation of, well, we're just going to be like that. And these people end up really tainting those who have a mature and reasoned approach and are looking at a system and saying, here is a particular system. I know the nuts and bolts of this system. And then I'm going to see how this system can be applied where we are today. And that's very different from, and you often see this. You often see, and I'll pass it right over to these two great guys, and I guess we'll start with Andreas and then jump right over to Alan on the thoughts on this. But you'll often see it's almost immediately identifiable. They'll draw up some sort of logo or flag or something that looks identical to some old system, and they even have like an identical number of points with, and sometimes they're identical as though nothing has changed. The context hasn't changed at all, but in fact, the context has changed quite a bit. An automobile might run beautifully in the desert, say, and yet if you want an automobile to run elsewhere in a completely different climate, you can take many of the components, much of the understanding of the automobile and how it worked in the desert and how it functioned, and apply many of those. Some of those will be directly relatable, but others won't be relatable at all. And you'll have to make big changes in order to make the vehicle run in the new environment, say like an Arctic environment or a very humid environment. So those are the really significant fundamental differences that I see. And that is why I give respect to those like these two gentlemen and the opposite for those who are LARPers. But I'll pass it over to Andreas first, and then we'll get Alan's thoughts on that as well.
Yes, I totally agree. And you often say, if I'm going to parrot yourself, that people that come to this realization about race, they come to it with the purest of intentions, with this love for their people. And then they go online and they see all these kinds of movements and they see these symbols and they see these people doing these stunts and whatever they're doing. And they see, okay, so I'm a nationalist now. This is what we have to be doing. And I understand that. And they get into that kind of people, this group, and hang around, and they become friends, become comrades, and then the rest goes from there. But like you're saying, these people, oftentimes, they're just imitating something that they've seen. There are no unique ideas. There are no new ways of dealing with problems that come about. And like I said, that's what impressed me with the Nordic Resistance Movement, that this is something completely unique. And we say to people that, you know, if you see something that we do that inspires you, you know, use that and make the best out of it, for sure. That's what our media is for, to inspire other people and for people in the North to join our movement and to do these activities with us. But a lot of the time, you see these people becoming more and more, like in the mainstream, they would say radicalized, but, you know, they start Fed posting, basically, siege posting online about killing politicians and doing all kinds of things. And what I say, you can have these feelings. I understand these people and their anger against non-whites and against politicians that are bringing them into our countries and all that stuff. But posting about these things and making it into your politics, making it into your main reason for even being a nationalist, that's very toxic. And also posting it online is going to put you in prison. And I've seen all these people that have come up, shot up like comets, or shut down like comets, maybe, on social media and on these video platforms. And they are now basically in prison. Like all these Omegle that shouted the N-word at people for weeks and weeks. I'm like, these people are not going to stay there for long. And what did they do? What did they accomplish? They had 50,000 to 100,000 followers. I mean, where's the saving the white race? Where's the main meat that is going to take us to the next step where we actually have influence in society? This is where, you know, where we want to be, where we're building our community to the point where it's grown to a point where the masses will start having sympathy for us when the system is being repressive. That's where you want to be as a movement. You don't want to be a hateful mass murdering movement. That's not going to win your people's hearts. So people call that cucky. I don't know how you can even imagine like the difference, but there is a difference between having compassion, but at the same time fighting for your race and always putting your race first place in every single conflict and just being this homicidal, genocidal person that I see online. So there is a lot of frustration, and I feel like there's a purposeful effort, and we've seen this from these articles coming out about the FBI. They're in these chat rooms, they are radicalizing people, they're giving them ideas and turning them into Islamist Satanists that cut themselves, you know. And then they put that online to discourage normal people from joining the movement because they see, oh, I don't want to be a part of this shit. Oh, sorry, I'm swearing. But I don't want to be a part of this stuff. This is horrible, you know. Whereas we are somewhere, you know, in between. You know, we want to be radical with our message. We never joke around when it comes to race and taking a stance against the invasion, first off, and the mass raping of our women in Sweden in particular, the murders of white people in Sweden, these humiliation robberies where they're humiliating our youth and filming it and putting on social media. And then you have the gay pride parades that we oppose. And then you have the Jewish influence in media that is constantly agitating against us as a hate group, and they want to ban our movement for just advocating for our own people. Those kinds of things we will never back down on, but that doesn't mean that we want to genocide non-whites. We want to just get rid of them from our countries, and we don't really care how that happens as long as they're gone so that our people are safe. That's all we can say. So a typical example here where we caused some divide in the nationalist movement is recently we took a stand for Palestinians fighting against Israel in Gaza. So we made this distinction here where we are supporting the Palestinians' struggle against the Israelis colonizing their country, basically imposing themselves on these people. It's a genocide what they're doing there. That's why we can sympathize with these people and their struggle. And they're the underdog. They're the typical underdog that no one supports. Like they give them money, but no one's really making the Israelis stop, are they? Like they just continue for the last 70 years. So we support the Palestinians in Gaza fighting against Israelis, but we don't support Palestinians in our country demonstrating for Palestinians in Gaza. We feel like these people should go home and start fighting for their people, you know. And this is what some nationalists don't understand, because they don't care about desert people. They just want to glass the Middle East. I hear this all the time. Why should I care about all these Arabs? Just let them murder each other in the Middle East. But we see a distinction there, and I think that's where the compassion comes in. Everyone that has a first look at this conflict, they will side with the Palestinians. They will side with the women and children that are being bombed by this absolute global superpower. So, yeah, we took that stand, and it was kind of controversial, I feel. I don't know, you probably have spoken about it on your show before. But yeah, we are radical, definitely, when it comes to our race politics, but we also try to be compassionate.
I agree, and I think that you summed it up perfectly there. When I see people who espouse what I feel is kind of immature politics, where they say things like, oh, well, you know, we can't have any empathy whatsoever for anybody unless they are of European descent, I fundamentally disagree with that. I think the fact that we understand other people's struggles and the fact that we believe that everyone the world over deserves their own place in the world and deserves to take their destiny in their own hands. I think that's a very good thing. I think that's a noble thing. And I think it clearly shows our intentions that we aren't people who want conflict and we aren't simply motivated by some bizarre hatred for other people. And I constantly get annoyed with these, they call them civic nationalist movements, movements like the silly, pointless For Britain movement that last year was, it might have been the year before, was desperate for war with Iran, desperate to have British and American troops involved in some conflict with Iran. Now, there wasn't any genuine insight coming from that movement. There wasn't any actual forethought, really. It was just Iran happens to be an Islamic state. For Britain movement doesn't like Muslims, thus following that very, very rudimentary logic, we should invade Muslim countries. Now, that to me is just insanity. That doesn't add up. And like you, I don't want to see Iran bombed to dust. I don't want to see Iran turned to glass. I'm happy for the Iranian people to do what the Iranian people want to do. And if that means that they hang child molesters, let them get on with it. If that means they have a certain moral code that people have to adhere to in that country, then that's their moral code. Let them get on with it. If they want to have an antagonistic or unfriendly stance towards Israel, that's fine by me. That's their country. They can have whatever foreign policy they wish to have. But this kind of nonsensical idea that because Muslims here in the West shouldn't be here in the West, Muslims shouldn't be anywhere else either, they just shouldn't be Muslims, is just an idiotic mindset. It's childish. It's just stupidity. Everything has its place. You know, in the same way that I don't want a tiger running loose in my house, I don't want all tigers in the world to be, you know, shot dead. I'm happy for them to exist in a jungle or a zoo. Just don't want them in my house. And I don't want mosques. I don't want Islamic centers. I don't want big Muslim marches. I don't want Islamic schools. I don't want halal slaughterhouses in the West. I don't want any of those things in the West. But I'm happy for those things to exist in the place they should exist. And I think that's a really well thought out and understandable point. Yet when you speak to these civnets who get so upset when you talk about ethno-nationalism, and these people are amazingly upset by the idea that white people should have their own nation, equally, when they'll state that we're going too far for simply wanting our own nations, they then get very, very animated and are desperate to literally genocide Arabs in the Middle East for no other reason that they don't like Arabs here in the West. Absolutely bizarre. I don't really understand it. And when I see people who run these civic nationalist movements calling for war in the Middle East, I start to scratch my head and wonder if those people have a three-digit IQ. Because if we start invading Arab nations, if we start bombing Iran, if we start throwing the nukes at the Middle East, what's going to happen? Well, I tell you now, 110%, as sure as night follows day and day follows night again, all you will end up with is a stream of millions of refugees heading to European nations, at which point the same grug-headed civnet that wanted to bomb Iran will be jumping up and down in fits of rage about refugees coming here without realizing that it was their Zio-fueled policy of endless wars in the Middle East that create much of the streams of refugees that we see all the time. And I just find it so amazing that people can be leaders of these civnet movements and can't just put two and two together. They can't say, well, look, we don't want Muslims in the West, so it's better if we have a peaceful Middle East where they can do what they want and they're free from foreign invasion, so they can just get on with what they want in their own countries and we can be left alone too. Why can't they see that? And then you realize, as I said, they're either double-digit IQ people or they are people who are being paid by Israel. And you get to choose one or the other, really. or maybe a combination of the two, in fact. It could be a combination of the two. But generally speaking, the Sivnats do love Israel. They do love Israel, and they are desperate for young white men from America, from the UK, from any Western nation to go and fight these genocidal wars in the Middle East. But equally, that creates the problem that they primarily talk about, more Muslims coming to the West. And it's an amazing lack of foresight. And when you speak to actual ethno-nationalists like yourselves, it's pretty clear that we're the only ones with an ideology that actually makes sense and can actually be laid out and isn't, you know, full of holes. I don't know if you guys want to comment any further on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the recent things you did with Simon and the Syrian politician, I think that kind of stuff is really important. And it also shows the maturity level of certain folks who, you know, they're sympathetic with us, but maybe they're just a bit too angry right now, and they don't understand why you guys spoke to someone in a, you know, non-European country. But basically, that kind of stuff is important, because if we're serious about our politics and we're serious about future, you know, the future and future proofing, you want to be seen as people who can be reasonable. You know, what kind of political party is going to just start saying, well, I'm not going to talk to any other country that's not white, and my policy is just kill them all, right? Like, come on. They will take the first chance to go after your ass, you know? They're going to make sure that you don't get into power. They're going to side with all your enemies to make sure that you and your political party never get anywhere anytime soon, okay? So it's bad for business. And the fact that people don't understand this and think that it was so terrible and, oh, you're stabbing us in the back because you're talking to a brown person. Like, people, it's the real world. You know, things need to be done. You know, in history, there were relations with other countries. This is something that's extremely normal. And you find a way to do diplomacy. You find a way to do normal trade. You find a way to have relations, okay? And so that we are still in a maturation process. The overall, like, white positive sphere, I think, was very immature, you know, just on a global level, and we're still making great strides, right? But these sorts of events like the call that you had, is still an example of that we're not fully mature yet. And I think we're going to get there, and it may take ruffling some feathers, right? But I always say that, like, to people, do you want to win? Are you interested in winning? Or are you interested in having short-term victories in a chat group or some other sort of thing online that make you feel good? Where are your interests? You know, you need to start prioritizing the actions that you want to take. So is it good for you to be spending an inordinate amount of time arguing with strangers? Or is it better for you to take a walk around outside and ponder, how am I going to reach these people, right? They're my people. I don't want to spend time hating them. I want to spend time thinking about how I can reach them. And then I want to spend time reaching them, you know, by joining an organization or joining a cause or doing something like what Jason has, encouraging this autonomous activity, for example. But it's about that maturity. Like, do you just want to feel good and have these short-term victories against people online? Or do you want to win? Do you want to win for your people as a whole? And that's the difference. So try, when something upsets you, stop and temper yourself and think about why those people might be doing it. Why might Mark and Simon be talking to a Syrian politician, right? And take it slow. And I know and I understand people are angry, and so that's fine. But it's the people that we have in our countries are quite different than a lot of the people that are in those countries, right? Maybe we can talk about that later, but I have experience traveling in some of those countries, living in some of those countries, and it's like night and day for some of the population. And as Trump said, they're not sending their best, but, like, I mean, I can tell you it's kind of true. But anyways, that's all I wanted to add for now.
Jason, do you have anything to add to this, or do you want to talk about some of the news we've been seeing this week?
No, we can move right along, brother, whatever topic you want to hit on now.
Well, I thought I'd hit on this because obviously it's the beginning of what is known as Pride Month. That really makes me sick. I mean, Pride Month, it's one of the most grotesque, I mean, when we say a celebration, we say that in inverted commas, some grotesque celebration of degeneracy that the whole world has to pretend to be going along with. And I've got to say this, I'm pretty sure there won't be a Pride Month in Iran. So, you know, any nationalist that wants to turn Iran to glass, your kids would probably be safer in Iran at this time of year than they would be in most Western nations, because they'd be free from the degeneracy of Pride Month. But Pride Month didn't get off to the kind of start that the degenerates would have hoped for, because I don't know if you've seen today or if people watching have seen today that Governor DeSantis in Florida signed the they're calling it the anti-trans sports ban, but it's actually not, it's actually got a proper name. But I read this from CNN because it's the first site that came up, but Florida became the eighth state this year to ban transgender girls and women in public secondary schools and colleges for participating on girls and women's sports team after its Republican governor signed the restrictive measure into law on Tuesday. It's not actually giving the name of the bill, but basically it's there to protect females. It's a very common sense bill. It's there to protect females. It acknowledges that males are born with a huge physical advantage when it comes to skeletal and muscular strength. And if you look at, say, the bell curve of muscular and skeletal strength between men and women, the average man is far, far stronger, far, far more physically able than the average female. And even when you look at top tier performing athletes, the average male, so say the average heavyweight boxer, the average male weightlifter, the average male sprinter, the average male long distance runner would all beat the female equivalent. And that's very important to note, because especially in combat sports or full contact sports, this puts women at risk. If you were to put men against women in, say, rugby, in the case of, say, as I said, any combat sport, this would be absolutely devastating to the health of the female, and the female would be completely pounded into oblivion. So if you've got some fella who isn't performing particularly well in his chosen sporting field and decides he wants to identify as a woman because he wants a few gold medals, they have put an end to this in Florida, and there are eight states in the US that have put a block on this. And I think this is a really, really good thing. And the fact that it happened on the first day of Pride Month made it even sweeter, because if you were to venture over to that cesspit known as Twitter, there was quite a lot of crying blue check marks and squawking freaks with bizarre profile pictures. And I think this is a beautiful thing. I think it's a great thing. And I'm not saying, before anyone says in the chat, I don't believe that this Governor DeSantis is our guy. I'm not saying he's a top-tier nationalist and he's going to bring about an ethno state in Florida. Not what I'm saying at all, so don't misinterpret my point. But I am saying I think this is a positive move. And I do think it's a positive move for nationalism, for common sense, but it's also a positive move for girls in these schools. And I hope other states will adopt this, because I think this is a common sense measure. But I didn't know if any of you guys wanted to comment on this, because I thought it was a bit of a good news story for once.
Well, I think that's very positive. It's definitely put a bump in their winning streak of late. We've seen them pushing the envelope there. There was a case in Canada where the father was either put in prison or he was fined for calling his daughter his daughter. Like, his daughter was forced by their mother to become a boy, something like that. And we've seen in Sweden as well how these tranny operations have, you know, skyrocketed. It's the true pandemic, is this absolute tranny agenda that's going on, because you can't say that it's some sort of organic thing where you have the healthcare system with their psychiatrists basically encouraging their children or their patients, then their young patients, to basically explore their gender roles, their identity, and then be so affirmative in their treatment that they basically want them to turn into, if it's a girl, to turn into a boy and go through these procedures as something positive because they have found themselves. And you've also seen that in Sweden we have like pride parades in the daycare, like in the 6-5-year-olds having these gay pride parades where they're also exploring their sexuality. There might be two daddies, there might be two mommies. I've been seeing this going along. And then recently we had a brochure that was handed out into in a school for, it's between 8 and 13 year olds, that there was a brochure that was talking about transsexuals and their sexuality, and also about the operation to change your gender. So this leaflet was, according to the principal, it wasn't an official part of the curriculum, but it was like a stack in school where kids have found it and they were handing it out. And yeah, we went through it on the show and had something like you would call irreverent humor about it, because we find that these things are so absolutely horrendously disgusting that laughing about it is some sort of defense. Like, we can talk about these things because they're important, but we can make it palatable, you know, because yeah, it is gross stuff. So we went through that, and that is basically the future of Sweden. So I haven't seen any pushback on the tranny agenda in Sweden. So if they're doing it in America, yeah, that's definitely a positive.
Yeah, it's good to have steps towards normalcy, let's say, to use that word, because things are just so topsy-turvy that everyone needs to be saying, just in their normal life and also in any political sense, that, hey, come on, this is absurd, right? Because things are just going crazy. It's just too much. So I applaud and support any action that's going to get us closer to reestablishing the sense of what is normal and what is very natural in life and in society, because clearly people are getting agitated. You know, I think there's like women are just getting fed up with all these freaks going into their bathrooms and this kind of stuff, and it's just, it's creating this tornado of discomfort, but it's also creating this, it's basically a scam to go after children. And I call it child abuse. I call it murder, in a sense, that this whole industry is getting people to commit suicide, taking them out of society and confusing them. And it really has no place, especially with the young. I mean, the fact that people, it didn't take very long for us to go from, you know, maybe don't talk to strangers to getting strangers advice on this kind of stuff, and then encouraging your kid to you know, change. And also people just, I don't know what happened to them, that they think that their children are capable of making these decisions. And anything that is supporting those kinds of decisions is helping it happen, right? So if they see that this thing is celebrated, and then they see that it's supported on a societal level with sports and such, all of that is going to make them feel more encouraged to explore that kind of thing. So this kind of sports thing, sports are big in America, and they're big everywhere, but especially in America. So not having that as an option means, as a small point of communication to the child or the teenager and so forth, that this is not normal, and I can't participate in this, you know. It's good. I don't really know much about the DeSantis fellow, honestly. I think he did some sort of like reversal of corona measures or something in Florida, so that's kind of all I know about him. But yeah,
he's standing up to quite a few things. He's definitely not, as Mark pointed out, and we need to not have this two-dimensional dummy non-edge thinking
of if somebody does something that we like, then they're our guy. And now we're going to just support everything. And then we're going to be heartbroken and crestfallen when we find out, oh, they're not. Once again. So yeah, don't put yourself on that roller coaster. You have to try to stay as sans froid and even keeled as possible. Just a couple thoughts on this thing. We can keep rolling along. And folks, get your questions, comments, and super chats in early as possible. But I do want to say that people who are homosexual and homosexuality in general is and has been weaponized by anti-whiteism. When we see these, what are referred to misleadingly as pride parades, which is not to say that aren't any homosexuals out there that look at such an idea at least and think that, well, I shouldn't be ashamed. And that's for them. But these parades, every time I have seen them, they have not been I'll just say what they have been. They have been anti-white from top to bottom. It's all about destroying Western civilization. It's all about destroying the Western family. It's all about destroying the lives of children. They have children. And I guarantee you that there are people who are attracted to the same sex. And however that happens, I know there are a lot of theories and a lot of possible, but just however that happens, people who are attracted to the same sex and who see this bringing children out, and they have these nude men, and they're in the faces of these, so they see the sexualization and they get as disgusted as any one of us and as outraged as any one of us. And there are people who are attracted to the same sex, I've spoken with them, who think it is as ridiculous, as repulsive as I do, to base your identity on what you're attracted to. And that the idea that you're going to put this out into the public square and make this some sort of norm for Western civilization, when we have never seen in history a stable civilization where something like this has been a norm, the idea that you're going to push this out there and you're going to remain in some functional, law-abiding Western civilization is, of course, purely asinine. It is reductionist to take these people. It is insulting and it is despicable to take these people and reduce their entire identity to what they are or who they are attracted to. I would be extremely insulted. And then this, of course, you all are mentioning beautifully about this. And I think, just by the way, to cap on that, is that it's all about being anti-white. That's just it. The bottom line is about how do we destroy anti-whites are thinking, how do we destroy the family? How do we break up marriages? How do we cause conflict in Western civilization? That's what all of that is about. And then, of course, you all mentioned magnificently the sexualization of children. So you saw that you had, and no doubt these movements for things like gay marriage and the like, were able to hoover up people who would never have endorsed the sexualization of children. They would have never, so they end up being led by the nose, like so many of us, like so many of our brothers and sisters. How many of our people, again, were led into international conflicts the last century, led by the noses because they were duped by the people in office and the people in media? So many of these people led into this, and now they see that, oh my gosh, what actually they're doing is they're sexualizing the children. They're bringing in these people who are perhaps in need of some serious mental medical assistance rather than paraded and celebrated. And they have taken this, of course, and segued right over to this butchering of children. And this has really reached what so many would call demonic levels. Where you have these crazy adults, and they are concluding that their children are a different gender than their sex, or what they were born with, and then they're going to begin the process of destroying their lives. That's the kind of thing, obviously, that when we talk about, we need to be talking about how it's anti-white. It's not just anti-Christian, or it's not just anti any of these other things. It's anti-white because it destroys what, first of all, nature, God created in these people. and it destroys the civilization that we create by normalizing these things that are so sick. But I will throw a bit of a wrench for conversation purposes into the discussion here when it comes to women's sports. And we had Carlisle reached out to me. She's watching the show. And thank you, dear sister. It's called the Women in Sports Fairness Act, I think is what she wrote. The Fairness in Women's Sports Act is what it was called, they didn't put in the title or in the story that Mark was taking a look at. And I'm gonna throw this out for conversation, and that is, has it been good for Western civilization, for our women, for white women, to have a free pass when it comes to all of the harm that's being inflicted on Western civilization? Our women have largely, up until maybe the past 5 to 10 years, been able to say, well, I'm a woman, so I get the job. I'm one of the ones that can get the job where the white man is going to be not hired or not promoted or fired when they need some replacements. She's been able to get the government grants because she's a woman. She's been able to, it's just been nothing but for our women. I guess tangentially or obliquely, our women are suffering because Western civilization is burning down around them. But on an individual level, they have benefited magnificently. That is how the anti-whites have destroyed the family, is because the white man was strong when he had a bolster in his wife and in his family behind him. The moment that the white woman was able to benefit also from anti-whiteism, he was pulled down from behind. He was subverted from behind. How else would the white man, after everything that we have done, walked on other planets, sent space vehicles beyond the solar system, how else could the white man have been conquered if not for being subverted in his own home? And now we see our white women are getting most afraid, most upset, because they're being victimized by anti-whiteism now. Now it's not enough to be a woman. If you're white, you still might not get that job. You still might not get that promotion because you are a white woman. We see these videos coming out. I think Andreas has mentioned them before, where the white women are being asked to leave the room when they're going to have the discussion, or the people, or the non-whites are going to have a discussion. The white women have to get it. That would not have happened 10 years ago. Only the white men would have had to leave. And so now we see in sports that white women are getting their asses kicked by males who are claiming to be women. And now they're crying crocodile tears. How bad it is for us that now things are getting tough for us. I don't know. I think maybe I want to say too bad. Too bad for you that it's getting bad. We are where we are today because you decided, not every single woman, most of you are certainly the ones that hear are wonderful people. But the vast majority of our white women have decided to go along with anti-whiteism because it benefited and empowered them. And now when the streets are unsafe and the sports, you're running along. And last statement I'll make, you're running along on what is this called? Field hockey. And you're running along and she's like putting along. She looks great, by the way. If you've ever watched these college girls, fabulous shape, their body, their legs, their faces. They're always wonderful, aren't they? And she's running along and she's got the little ball, and all of a sudden, cleaned out by 220-pound Betty, who used to be Bob last week. Suck it up.
That was an excellent rant, my friend. Do our guests want to comment on that before we move on?
Well said.
Yeah. Are you going down?
No, go ahead. I just wanted to add
to the first thing you were saying about it being anti-white. What I thought of is something I make a point of on the show quite often, is that anything that these people do, whoever you want to call them, the globalists and their machinations, is causing lower birth rates for white people. And this tranny agenda and the homosexual gay pride agenda affects white people disproportionately. Definitely. And it is causing all kinds of havoc when creating families and, you know, family members And yeah, the trannies are depressed. Once they have transitioned, they're a freak. They're never going to become the other gender or the other sex. They're just going to be a freak for the rest of their life. And a lot of them regret it, and then they kill themselves. We see like 40% of these people off themselves a few years after doing this. So it's a huge mistake, and it's a victimization of our children, and they're making them infertile at a record rate. So I think it's very alarming. And I always feel sad when it comes to this. Like, I feel anger for sure, but I feel the same way I do with race mixing. I feel a huge sadness of the promotion of race mixing and everyone that gets into it. Once it's done and you have the progeny that doesn't look like you and it doesn't have the same white genes as our white people, it's too late. And they're going to grow up deracinated without their proper white identity and all that stuff. They can't be repaired once it's been done. The same is with the tranny stuff. Once it's done, it is done. You're not going back. So it increases infertility for white people. But with the other stuff, I'm a huge women respecter, and people know that, listen to the show. Women that have embraced their role as a natural woman in this world and, you know, live to create a nice homestead and have a nice family and, you know, bring the genes forward. I'm not a big, huge fan of Swedish feminism. I think Sweden tries to do everything the best. They're always going to be the best. And when it comes to feminism, they've really done a good job of dividing men and women. And like you say, in the homes, when they gave them the so-called freedom of first, they give them the vote, to give them the right to work and pay taxes and go out and be a, you know, a word I can't say on the show, but something that's indecent for women. They go out and chase stuff. And, you know, they come back when they're 35, they want to make a family, it's too late. And they've once again create infertility for the white race. So the vote, for example, that has given the woman the possibility to divide the household politically. And this wasn't done before. Like, the family would vote as a unit, even though the feminists are brainwashed into all these men being tyrants in the home and deciding everything for the whole family. But then all these women will have to look back at their grandfathers and call them, you know, misogynist a-holes. You know, that's not right. They love their grandfathers. They were cozy old guys. So that's not true. But what we've seen today is these women, and like you said, they've had tremendous so-called privilege for decades. When it comes to the work market, they've been getting the jobs that they didn't deserve. And they've created all kinds of chaos because of that, because they were other candidates that could have done a better job, especially in work that is less female, I would say, like industry and all kinds of stuff, where the goal is to have 50% women. When that's achieved, then they somehow things became better. And when it's 50, they're going to have, I don't know, 90. But like you say, in these sports now the tranny is higher on the victim hierarchy. So he gets the bigger prize, not in Florida, but usually we've seen cases where you have boxers that are trannies that have absolutely wrecked women in sports. Like, it's really dangerous. They can do real damage. And the society, the mainstream society, celebrates this. And yeah, it's absolutely crazy how that's happened. But white women, yeah, they're going to suffer because of this tranny business, but also because of multiracialism. You're going to have black women now being celebrated. You have had that in ads in Sweden, for example. The white male was removed a long time ago. The only white males you see in the ads are old white men, because they're on the way out, and then the young, strong black man takes care of the white woman. But now you're just going to see deracinated people on the TV at some point, and you're not going to even recognize what country you're in. So, yeah, very good points there.
Yeah, I wanted to. I wanted to add something. I like to be optimistic, and therefore, I hope that this will drive and shock the feminists and all these the people that have been lied to. Back into our arms, back into some sense of like looking for security with their own kind and their own men, you know, because that's, they had it whispered in their ear, you know, one lie after the other. The first thing that was whispered to their ear is like, you know, you're just as good. You don't have to take this, right? You can do that. And so slowly all these lies built up until we were, you know, at in each other's faces and divided. But now that they're getting antagonized and attacked bit by bit, like, wait a minute, you know, they were in the kind of feeling good, riding the wave of being special and celebrated when they were doing all this feminism. And now to be out of the spotlight, you know, they want to feel special. Well, you know what, women, white women, you can be special, but you have to just discard these lies and this programming that was given to you. And I want to make a little anecdote or comparison rather to a place that I have some experience in that I think had a pretty good balance with this. And it was when I lived in Turkey. Now, the women there, at least the sort of the middle class that I knew in Istanbul and so forth, different cities, they had a view that they knew that the thing that was most celebrated by the society was being a mother, right? So the society and their culture made it known that is that your highest aspiration. But at the same time, they didn't, at least with what I experienced, tell these women that you can't do anything and you're worthless and you just have to stay home and make sandwiches or something, right? They didn't, that was not there. Now, I know, I'm sure people think that about the Middle East in general, but this is not exactly the Middle East. It's the Middle East. So the reason why I'm mentioning is this is because there's a way to have a bit of both things, and I've seen it in my life that these women say, okay, I'm going to try a bit of this, but I know that what I really want the most and what's going to make me feel the best because it's celebrated the most is being a mother. That is cherished, right? So that's something that I think that we are taking on in our broader white positive sphere is celebrating motherhood. And that's something that was one of the first signals when I saw this recorded speech from Adolf Hitler when he talked about women and his views on women, saying that the woman who had raised four wonderful children has done more for the society than this woman who was just a lawyer her whole life, you know? And that was one of those clues that shed some light about what was that all about at that time and in that place. And then also just seeing a society that says, yeah, this is the thing that we love the most. It's okay. You can go and try and work. And I saw that working. I think that was a pretty healthy arrangement that they had there. And so, yeah, I welcome women back and say, you know what? It's okay. We all know you were lied to, and we got to be here for you. Yes, you deserve a good grilling. Don't get me wrong. You do need a good grilling because you need to wake up, right? So those women that get their asses kicked in sports, yeah, no, good. Get your ass kicked, get shaken up, and then come back home, and admit that you messed up, and that actually you'll be happier under this arrangement. You know, there's no shame in it, but it takes participation from both of our sides. You know, and we're not going to get it with poutiness from MGTOW and this kind of crap. You know, we're going to get it by growing up and trying to reach each other and knowing what to celebrate. So that's it from me on that one. Mark, what do you...
I think people sometimes put a lot of blame, especially men, they put a lot of blame on females for sort of messing up society. But at the same point, I see just as many cowardly men as I see cowardly females. I'm preparing a video at the moment on a black man called Ryan Gondo, who basically kicked the cup of a white homeless girl, was there was some altercation between him and a homeless girl who was white, and he kicked a cup of money over, left the scene, came back with a bottle of water and threw water all over. And I'm making a video on this about how people on Twitter sort of support this. And there was many white men on Twitter supporting his actions as there were white women. In fact, I saw more white men supporting his actions than white women. I think there's kind of this generalization from men in the movement that sort of like to pin the blame on women. But I have genuinely met as many white men in the white men who are anti-white as I have women. I have faced off with screaming hordes of anti-white protesters, and they weren't all women. It wasn't like all the women were anti-white protesters and all the men were saying, no, 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 you've got to vote BNP. There were absolutely hordes of weird, soy, freakish men who hate the white race too. And I think that it's very easy just to say, well, you know, women have caused the downfall of society. And I just don't think they have. I think women have been targeted in certain ways to make them accept feminism and other things and turn them against men. And I think that's very much true. But there are equally as many men who have been involved in the downfall of the West as women. And I just think if you go into this sort of anti-women rhetoric, I think it puts a lot of women off joining the movement. And I think to be, if we want women to come home, you say you want women to come home, I think we have to be far, far more understanding of women and far more welcoming to them. And if we sit here saying, you know, as four men on a panel, if we sit here saying, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's all women's fault, then after the show, we complain that no women are turning up to our meetings. It's probably because we've just blamed them all. When ultimately, I think, you know, women have been more heavily targeted than men when it comes to propaganda. And I also think there are a lot of good women out there that have been, that would have made great mothers, that would have been wonderful wives, but they got with lousy men who never made them wives and mothers. And we can't just sit there and say, oh, well, this woman here, you know, she sat at home with her three cats. Therefore, because she sat at home with her three cats and no children, she is, you know, Satan's wench that is bringing the white race to destruction. But there are a lot of good women out there, and I've met them that have said to me, look, I'd have loved to have settled down and have children. And I've been, you know, looking for a good man all my life, and I ended up with a guy who messed me about, and we didn't end up having children. So I do think there are definitely two sides to this story. And I think that we should always save our anger and our rage for the people who have tried to indoctrinate white women, just as we should save our rage and anger for people who have tried to indoctrinate white men. And some people say, well, you know, these women, they should have searched harder, they should have looked harder. But I've met men in the nationalist movement. I don't want to get into a man bashing thing, but I've met men in the nationalist movement, and they're like, why can't I get a good woman? Why can't I get a good female? Why won't women look at me and want me? And the truth is, there are a lot of men out there today that bemoan the fact they haven't got a woman, but they won't do the bare minimum to get a woman. And, you know, they want to sit there gaming, unemployed, you know, overweight. And then they say, you know, how come I'm not with a 10 out of 10 mega babe who wants to darn my socks, cook me, you know, three square meals a day, make love to me all night, then listen to me witter on about the, you know, the contradictions in the new Warhammer 40K law, you know. And I'm like, well, what have you got to offer this woman? And they're like, well, you know, not a lot. Now, obviously, if you look like the golden one, maybe you can get a woman to sit down and talk about 40K law with you, but you've got to bring something to the table yourself. And I think that if nationalist men got to the gym a little more, sorted out themselves and raised themselves up, they would attract women. And I'll tell you something, right? Here's probably something that's going to upset a lot of people, but I've got to say this. I have had probably as much heartbreak as any man when it comes to dealings with women. I've had as many problems as any man when it comes to dealing with women. I've dated women that have, you know, decided they didn't want me for whatever reason, and it's been mighty upsetting. Did I end up crying myself to sleep, drinking my soy milkshake, and hiding in a darkened room? No, I didn't. You know what I did? I got down the gym, I lifted heavier weights, I drank thicker protein shakes, I ate even more Big Macs, and you know what? Next time I got a woman, I looked even better, I was even more confident, and I kept doing that, and I kept raising my game until I met a wonderful woman that I could have children with. Boom. You know, and I think there's fault on both sides, basically. And also, this is a mad pivot, but somebody's just sent me a link to the BitChute terms and conditions. This video isn't going to be on BitChute because they ban any video instantly or any creator that works with the Nordic Resistance Movement. Did you guys know this?
Welcome Sorry to BitChute that. Hell.
Yeah, we've been criticizing BitChute quite a lot lately. They had a list like a few months ago. They had a long list of organizations that were not allowed on the platform, and that included Islamists, ISIS, that were chopping heads off and stuff like that. Now it's only three organizations that are not allowed, and that's Golden Dawn, Nordic Resistance Movement, and it's the Order of the Nine Angles, the Satanist group.
Let me get this straight. So BitChute, I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to bring this up because this is, look, I've always been a massive supporter of BitChute. But I've got to say this. This seems like it's been written by somebody at Hope Not Hate. This is insane. So the three organizations that are banned are Golden Dawn, who obviously, you know, were a parliamentary party in Greece, Nordic Resistance Movement, and those nerds, Order of Nine Angles, like the eight Satanist dorks who are involved with their little spurgy movement.
Yeah, they're basically feds, you know, FBI, basically.
But this is bizarre because there's no mention of ISIS, there's no mention of Al-Qaeda, there's no mention of any violent leftist group. There's just, but Nordic Resistance, why are you on that list when you're legal in Sweden and Norway?
Yes, so the initial accusation was that we're banned in Finland. And yes, we had a court case in Finland where we were banned as a movement. And it is based on a very dodgy law, or it's an old law that they brought out that is for going against good customs. And this is customs in regards to how to run an organization. And somehow we weren't doing a very good job, according to them. So they brought it to court and they brought out all these accusations that we were doing hate speech on the website. That was vastarinta.com, the news website. Like Finland doesn't have any hate speech laws. It didn't back then anyway. It might do now. And then there was this one case where an activist kicked a leftist over on the street and hit his head, and he had to go to the hospital. And this leftist, like, it's a long story, but we get accused of basically murdering this guy. But he hit his head. He went to the hospital and he signed himself out of the hospital to go and do more drugs. And a few days later, he ended up being dead. So that's basically what happened to that guy. And he's a saint in Finland. So, yeah, we had that altercation, and they bring that up constantly when it comes to our movement. But then someone on, it might have been Twitter or Gab, that reached out to BitChute and said, "We're not banned in Sweden. You know, we're a registered political party in Sweden. We run for elections. We're not banned in Denmark. We're not banned in Norway or Iceland. So why are we not allowed to be on the platform?" Everything that we publish, this is very important to understand. Sweden has very strict hate speech laws, and all of our media is carefully produced to not go to prison, basically, because we have members that go to prison for hate speech when they bring it up into cases and bring it up to court. So all these articles and videos and things that we post are completely legal in Sweden. So there's no reason why BitChute would take the stand to claim that we're somehow not allowed because of laws in your country. I mean, what kind of repressive laws do you have that we don't have over here in Sweden? That's crazy.
Well, I just think I'm really disappointed because I've had all my previous videos on BitChute, and today is the first time I won't be able to upload a video to BitChute. That's I've just contacted the owner and asked why, when you're legal in Sweden and Norway, are you prohibited there? And what, you know, I'm hoping to get an answer, because this is I think this is really bad, and I think it's a really bad sign that this is happening.
Well,
I think,
keep in mind,
I think the answer echoes. I'm just going to add that. You go on, Alan.
Yeah, keep in mind it's not only those bannings, but there's this strange, I don't even know what to call it, but a lot of the channels that I subscribe to, including, like I mentioned before, Alternative Voices Portal, they just clip things out from Jason Streams and Red Ice and all sorts of authors. They come up now as may be deemed illegal in your country. And I have to go through VPN after VPN to try to find a country where I can watch some of these channels. Now, those channels are not banned from BitChute.com, right? Like we're talking right now, but they're sort of soft banned. And that's been growing and growing. And so basically, I don't know, I think maybe I can watch about two of the things I'm subscribed to now. And unless I want to use like a Tor browser or something and keep clicking new identity until I land on a country that it's not, quote, deemed illegal. So BitChute has gone all kinds of wacky and very quickly. This is something that started with us pretty much. And then more and more of these got labeled that in the span of like 6 months since then.
Well, I'm really disappointed about that. I've messaged the owner and said, why, when in Sweden and Norway, are they legal? You know, they're not banned in the UK. Why can't I, you know, I'll see what he says. You know, I don't want to start attacking people, and I've always had a really good, been on really good terms with them, but I'm really disappointed about this. But anyway,
I just want to add before we leave the BitChute thing, what I find reprehensible about their behavior is that first off, they banned and deleted all of our content without ever contacting us or anything. No comment. They haven't answered any emails that we've sent, but they continue to take donation from nationalists that believe that this is a free speech platform. I think it's absolutely disgusting, and everyone should boycott them. And I've been saying this for months. Like I get so riled up with them. It's thousands of dollars that these people are making on us and people that support.
Well, I'm going to bring this up with him and ask for a phone call with him and talk to him. I'm going to try and get this settled. So I will do my best. But let's do some super chats. Glenn the Chinaman gave $20 and he said, questions for the guests. The nationalist scene in Japan is weak. Former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's crackdown on Yakuza weakened it significantly. As a result, pushback against creeping changes doesn't exist. What remains are clown shows. Holding rallies that yell racial slurs and talk about violence repulses is the average Japanese, not attract. Any advice? Is there any advice for Japanese nationalists?
Is that a question for us? Yeah, I don't know. I read about, like, there's a lot of nationalism in Japan, actually. There's a few different parties that I looked into years and years ago. But what I saw, this was maybe 2018, was that some people, they were advocating for hate speech laws in Japan. And this is because the resistance against mass immigration in Japan is quite strong. And the way they start to chip away with that is to alter what you're allowed to say. And with hate speech, particularly aimed against the host nation, is stopping you from criticizing being replaced in your own country. And this is what has worked beautifully in Sweden, where, and I know Alan has experienced this as well, it's an unspoken rule in the general public what you're allowed to say about mass immigration. Everyone knows these words you're not allowed to use and these opinions you're not allowed to have. And that's a product of hate speech laws that people have just internalized now. It's an internalized censorship. So that's what I saw that they're working on in Japan, and that's a few years ago. So I can imagine that they have gotten some headway there maybe. Back then, I think they had like 20 asylum seekers, and they took in like a handful of them. So it might be worse today. I have no idea.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I've got a question here for me, also from Glenn the Chinaman, who gave another $15. Thank you very much for the generosity tonight. He says, the conference had to be cancelled. Some prefectures and other localities have passed hate speech anti-discrimination laws. They have not been enforced. However, with the Olympics nearing, they have cracked down harder, and individuals I was working with are facing legal problems. I think Japan will be seen as a noble nation. It'll be seen as a high IQ, high trust society, and it will be broken in the same way as the West. And Japanese nationalists need to start organizing along cultural and ethnic lines and base their nationalism on best practice from the West. And I would be more than happy to have a Japanese guest on here or work with Japanese nationalists. Thank you for the super chats. Serena JB gave £5. Thank you so much, Serena. And she said, often children will take the opposite political view to their parents. How do people on the right prevent their children from succumbing to anti-white propaganda? Well, I'll give my very quick thoughts on this, and then will Andreas, because he's got children. I think if you bring your children up well, and you bring your children up, not oppressively, but honestly answer their questions, be their friends when you need to be their friends or when they need a friend, listen to them, form good bonds with them, they won't turn against you. I think people rebel against their parents for a variety of reasons. And that's one of those reasons is because parents often let go of their children. They become a lesser influence in their children's lives and allow social circles, teachers, outside influences to take over. And often today, people neglect parenting and hand the parenting duties to the television or to, as I said, outside influences. I believe that the stronger your bonds are with your children, the less likely they are to rebel. Sophia doesn't watch television. She doesn't have these outside influences. Mummy and daddy spend their time with Sophia. Today, we must have read countless Mr. Man books. Countless Mr. Man books. You know, we walked to the shop together, myself and Sophia, because I needed to pick something up from the shop. And, you know, on the way home, you know, we looked at the little stream on the way home. She has to be picked up and carried. And I put her on my shoulder and I said, what do you want to do when you get home? And I said, do you want to go in the paddling pool? And she said, no, she wanted to play goals, which is a little football goal we've got set up. And she likes to kick the ball in the goal. So we set up the goal and she kicked the ball in the goal and we had fun. And quality time builds those bonds. But sadly, I think one of the biggest problems parents have today is they don't have time for their kids. Both parents are out at work all day. The child's in nursery. When the child gets home, the parents are knackered, don't have any time for the kid. The kid gets put in front of the TV. And all the influences and bonds that the children are forming are either with other children, with the nursery workers, with Peppa Pig, with whatever crap that is on the TV, but not with the parents. Build strong bonds with your children and they won't betray you. Let your children run wild and leave your children all day in daycare. Your children won't have strong bonds with you. And then don't be surprised if your children don't do what they're told. I think it's quite simple. I think the more time you spend with mum and dad, the less likely you are to turn against them. Children who turn against their parents probably didn't spend as much time with their parents as they should have done. What are your thoughts on that, Andreas?
Yeah, I'm just going to repeat everything you said. But yeah, you have to be close with your children. I think that's definitely the goal. And children are always looking for attention. And the more attention you give your children, the closer your bond's going to be. And it's really hard sometimes, like you are pressed for time. You have other things that you want to and you need to do. So you have to find a balance there. And the more children you have to remember, the less attention you're going to be able to give to each of these children. So you have to be smart about this stuff and also, you know, find what your children, like all the children, this is something very fascinating that I found, is that they're basically born with a personality. They have a thing when they're born that differentiates them from other people and your other child. But they are somehow a carbon copy of yourself and a mix between you and your woman. So finding what their interests are and trying to hone that between you to make your bond stronger, I think is a lot of work, but that's what's going to have a successful relationship. But just like you said, in society, and I think in Sweden, we have the Social Democrats basically responsible for our school politics here, where we have mandatory school here. Homeschooling is illegal. and they've lowered the mandatory school age to 6. So now when your child is 6, the state owns the child. And I try to explain this to normies somehow, sometimes, and they get baffled when I say the state owns your child. You know, just try and bring them home from school one day when they're at school and see what happens. Try doing that 5 times a week for a while, and you'll end up either in prison or social, you know, caretaking your children, having an investigation. So they have that going, and they want to push that further and further down. They're talking about 3 years old now, put into daycare, state-mandated daycare at 3 years old. And they're using multiracialism as an excuse for this, because the Muslims are keeping their children at home. They want to raise their, they don't want them to be homosexuals. They don't want them to walk in the pride parades. They don't want them to be, you know, in this Swedish culture. They want to live among their own in their enclaves. So the state wants to get these children and have them as early as possible. But this obviously affects white people as well. And if you have both working parents, like you said, in the evening, you have like a maximum of half an hour to an hour of active time with your child every weekday. This is insane. This is your child, and you're spending less than an hour every day before they have to go to bed, you know, to maybe read a book, but most likely, you know, they'll just watch some cartoons and go to bed, and that's going to be their childhood. So, yeah, having that bond with them, even when they get older, they will have a reason to listen to what you say. You have to have an influence over your child. Otherwise, someone else is going to have influence. And it's either going to be, you know, whose cartoons that they're watching, or it's going to be the school telling them that, you know, they might be a girl or a boy. You know, you never know. So, yeah, just spend time and give them attention.
Yeah, and I just want to add something to this. The only ethnicity in Sweden that are exempt from the anti-homeschooling rules are Jews. Jews are still allowed to homeschool. Every other ethnic group is banned from homeschooling. Muslims, whites, Hindus, Sikhs, all banned from homeschooling except for Jews. Yeah.
Tells you everything. I tried to apply for the Jewish school, but we couldn't get in. You know, it was cramped.
So, yeah, moving on for that. It's a very thought-provoking question. Thank you for that. Clam Smasher gave £25. Thank you so much. Very generous super chat. He said, thanks for taking the hedgehog to the sanctuary on Sunday, Mark. Glad to see you're feeling better too. You're a good egg. Thank you so much, my friend. Just a little bit of background on what that's about. Before the debate on Saturday night, I went for a walk with the missus and Sophia. Found a injured hedgehog. I had to take my t-shirt off, wrap the hedgehog in the t-shirt and quickly get home, which unfortunately meant walking through the local village sort of topless, cradling this hedgehog in the t-shirt. Quite interesting seeing people in the beer gardens saying, what's that topless guy doing? Is he out walking his hedgehog? It was very bizarre. People were obviously finding it quite amusing. I did the debate at 9 p.m. to nearly 11 p.m. The hedgehog sanctuary, thankfully, was open till 1 a.m. because lots of people find injured hedgehogs, obviously, in the evenings. And they let me bring the hedgehog to them after the debate. So I arrived at the hedgehog sanctuary at 11 p.m., didn't get home until just after midnight, and then had to be up at 6 a.m. because that's what time Sophia gets up. And that's what the day of the week that I let Mrs. Mark have a bit of a lie in. So I was back up at 6 a.m. to look after the little monster. So that was my life. But the hedgehog is doing well. I believe it's a female, and they said they believed that she might be pregnant. So that's why she was struggling a bit. So obviously very important to look after hedgehogs because they are falling in number rapidly thanks to mass immigration and overpopulation. The Thin Red Line gave... Red Line gave $10. Thank you so much for that. He said, I am a nationalist from Scandinavia. I respect you, but I think it's a mistake to link yourselves so closely to the 30s because as soon as you say National Socialism, people stop listening. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts. Junta Mominari gave $15. Thank you very much. He said, birth rates are the best argument against immigration. Immigrants push the native birth rate down faster than the absence of it. In addition, later immigrant generations also collapsed to fertility near par with natives. It is a death spiral in the same irrecoverable fertility levels of South Korea. Thank you so much. Redline gave another $3. Thank you so much. He said a year ago there was an attack on a Jewish cemetery in Denmark. It was linked to the Nordish resistance movement. Any comment on that? Do you have any quick comments on that? Because we are running out of time.
Yes, there was our comrade Jacob that was sentenced for what is it called? Desecrating a grave with some green paint, supposedly. And they had a day of activism when it was one of the Jewish holidays. They have quite a few. So we had some activism where they were out spraying some messages. So they've admitted as much. They were doing some street activism. And they were arrested after some witnesses had seen them, I suppose. And they went to court with absolutely no technical evidence of them having the paint on them. There was no, like, that paint. They weren't even using a paint bucket. They had spray paint, obviously, and they didn't have any technical evidence of them being at this Jewish cemetery at all. So they were basically sentenced because they were National Socialists. They were out doing activism on a Jewish holiday, and they were spraying messages on that evening. That's what they were arrested for, and they were accused of this thing, and he was sentenced for it. And we had an article on NordicResistanceMovement.org where we had an internal investigation when we spoke to Jacob and sorted everything out. And yes, there are no technical evidence, and we're obviously going to take our comrade's word for it. And it's also one of these Jewish tropes that I actually believe that Jews have invented themselves of desecrating Jewish graves. It is just like running through the nationalist sphere since I've been involved, and I've heard it from before as well, turning over Jewish graves and, you know, doing all kinds of things like that. And it just sounds like the most retarded thing to do. And it's not part of our activism. If it was part of our activism, we would show it. Like, we would, you know, stand by it, because we're very open when it comes to our media and activism. And we do spray messages on very legal places to do, of course. So, yeah, that's what happened with the Jewish cemetery. But I can also answer his previous question about using National Socialism. And we had a Q&A.
We'll have to be quick on answers now, though, because we only got 19 minutes left.
Okay, I'll be brief. We had a Q&A with Simon Lindberg, the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement, a while back. And he actually addressed this question, why we say that we're National Socialists. And I know I touched on that before, but it also acts as a shield against people that are not serious about their commitment. And not only do we not appreciate people that are not sincere and kind of LARPy, but you also have people that are cowards that will come to the movement and they're not brave enough, they're not man enough to wear such a label. And they will just run when things get hot, and we can't trust these people. So it acts as a shield as well. Just going to add that.
Thank you. For Camaraderie gave $5. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, evening all, really full for my Nordic brothers. White flight from Malmo, stabbings, murder, rape, ever increasing. Rest in peace, Arminas Pelekas. I think that's how it's pronounced. And all those who paid the price of saying enough is enough. Our land has been bastardized. God bless you, comrades. Thank you so much. Redline gave another $10. Thank you for your support tonight. My friend, he said, for me, one of the problems linking yourself so closely to National Socialism in Scandinavia is there are not many Jews in Scandinavia. I know that Jewish propaganda from America and Britain plays an important role in our problems, but it's difficult to point to this. So since very few of them in the media are Jews in Scandinavia, thank you for that observation. Kumquat Nationalist gave £10. Thank you for the super chat and the amusing name. He said, have you heard of a German group called Der Dritte Weg, the Third Way? They seem to be very similar to PA and on a positive nationalist movement with some good ideas. No, I haven't, but I will check them out. Thank you for the donation.
Max, I can just add that we have a very close relationship with Der Dritte Weg. And we have posted articles written by them on Nordic Resistance Movement. .org under International Comrades, if you want to check that out.
Thank you so much. Max Anderson gave £10. Thank you very much. He said, great positive guests. It gives me hope. Great work, Mark. Sorry to hear about another bank ban. You are making them afraid. Thank you so much, my friend. JP gave a very generous $50. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, love the show. Keep doing God's work. I certainly will. And these people, they're not going to get me down. At the end of the day, you know, it may come to the point where all I can ever do is take crypto and then pay it into friends' bank accounts who'll give me cash. But if that happens, I hope people will keep supporting me, because obviously these are difficult times. But thank you so much for the very generous super chats tonight. Stan One gave £20. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, another great show. Thank you to all. Thank you, my friend. Stig Eddie gave $20. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, don't be an English cigarette. Put ketchup on your pasta. Don't understand what that means. I don't put ketchup on my
internal pasta. Humor from the Nordic frontier. Sorry about that.
Oh, you asked me that about putting ketchup on pasta, didn't you?
That's right. Yeah, yes, the most
controversial. Yeah, like only a complete maniac would put ketchup on pasta. That's insane. British Nordic. Gammon gave £25. Thank you very much. And he said, excellent stream tonight, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Rory Herbert gave £3. Thank you so much. He said, how is the wounded hedgehog faring and will we be receiving regular updates? The hedgehog survived. He's doing well. I'll give the sanctuary a call tomorrow. And what I might do is put their donation page up on my site so people would like to donate to them. The people at that hedgehog sanctuary, I've met them twice. I've saved two hedgehogs now. I generally rescue any injured wildlife and try to do my best with it. But these guys, they are tireless. And they tend to, well, they never stop. And I've actually been in their house. Their house is amazing. All it is floor to ceiling, little plastic Tupperware boxes with little towels and hot water bottles in, with dozens and dozens of hedgehogs up to the ceiling in these like hedgehog tower blocks where they're all being nursed back to health. And the fact they stay open to 1 a.m. on weekends so that people can come in and drop off injured hedgehogs that they found walking home drunk, that is just incredible. Flying Dutchman gave $25. Said, looking forward to catching up on replay. I imagine the show was a good one. It has been absolute fire tonight. Also, if people want the name of the hedgehog sanctuary, they're called Ogles Hedgehog Sanctuary, and they're in Dewsbury. So if you want to donate, please look them up. They deserve it. Reformed Against Lockdowns gave £3. Thank you so much. He said, why do so many Civnats criticize Muslims for holding values that agree with natural and Christian morality? I do not want Islam here, but nor do I want the children indoctrinated by the LGBT mafia. Well, I'll put it like this. Right. I'm no fan of Muslims, but I'll say this. I would rather my children brought up by people in Iran than I would by LGBT pro-LGBT parents. The fact is, I believe that these Civnats who want to go to gay pride parades to recruit people are as bad as the Muslims. You know, if you ask me who I wanted to win the battle, hedonistic, degenerate, LGBT loving, whites, or Muslims, I just set them at each other, turn my back and laugh. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care on the outcome, because both of them pose equal threats to my daughter. Do I want my daughter to be groomed? Do I want my daughter to have to wear a headdress? No. Do I want my daughter to suffer female genital mutilation? No. Do I want my daughter to be told that she can be a little boy? Do I want my daughter to be told that you don't need a mummy and daddy, you can have a mummy and mummy, or a daddy and daddy? No. Do I want my daughter to go to a gay pride parade where men are walking around naked and people are carrying out sick sexual fetishes in the street? No. Both sides of that debate are abhorrent. I don't want either of them. What I want is traditional Western morality for my children, which is not Islam, but nor is it LGBT, but in Shiite Muslim countries like Iran, I would say children are probably brought up in a much better and more moral way than they are in the average British school. I think that's a fair point. And Civnats that want LGBT pride parades like For Britain, nah, not for me, mate. Don't want that nonsense. It's filth. Flying Dutchman gave $25. Thank you so much, my friend, for the generous super chat tonight. And he says, the Public Order Act of 1986 stifles truth and free discussion. It is an affront to a glorious people. It certainly is. And he says, thanks for saving the hedgehog. Well, not a problem. I'll just go through this again. I do believe that saving animals is our duty. You know, I've waded through streams to save ducklings that have gone over waterfalls. I saved the little bird earlier the year. I've, you know, done all sorts when it comes to saving animals, and I always will. Even when my neighbor's tortoise escaped under the garden fence, and I spent a good 2 hours looking for that in a hedgerow, couldn't find it. But amusingly enough, it turned up 2 weeks later in a school playing field of all places, and children were just gathered around this tortoise. And naturally, it went out on Facebook, a tortoise has been found, and one of their friends spotted it and they got it back, which was quite good. But I always do believe that looking after animals is our duty. And I think it's, as Western people, we stand alone, really, as animal lovers. I think being a nation of animal lovers is something that, you know, is uniquely Western. So I will always go out of my way. But I can tell you this, having to run home with the hedgehog, then get changed, then do the debate, then take the hedgehog to the sanctuary. I was absolutely knackered when I got up on Sunday morning. I was done in. And it was all when I had that nasty flu as well. So on the debate, I'm coughing, I'm spluttering. I know that after I'd finished it, I started to do the hedgehog run. But and that debate was madness too. How anyone can hold those views, I don't know. Horatio Nelson gave $10. Thank you so much, my friend. Say, God bless you, Mark. I love PA. Well, thank you very much, my friend. We are doing our best. And Horatio Nelson gave another $3. Thank you very much. He said, hail from Cumbria. And we have a few unpaid chats. Kelt asked, how about members spending time with organizations in other countries to learn and teach? Well, we would happily come over to Sweden to spend time with the Nordic Resistance, and I would happily invite them here. So that is something we would certainly do. And as we know, Jason has already come here to the UK to speak at our meetings. So that is good. And somebody asked, Frozen Fire asked Andreas and Alan, what do you guys think of the Alternative for Sweden party?
Well, it was unfortunate timing for them to actually be created. And, you know, people called them controlled opposition for... They were basically created 6 months before the election in 2018. And yeah, they had some success for sure. But I don't think that it's controlled opposition. It's a shoot-off from the Sweden Democrats. It's the defunct Sweden Democrats Youth Party that was actually disbanded by the leadership of the Sweden Democrats because they were too radical. So they created Alternative for Sweden in 2018, and they're not ethno-nationalists. They are a slightly more nationalist Sweden Democrat, maybe. They are for repatriation of criminal non-whites in Sweden, and also a very extensive repatriation for people that it's just don't fit in. But they do not talk about race, and they do not address other issues that we do that might be very controversial to others, such as international banking and who runs that, international media and who runs that, and all the rest that they run. Those kinds of things, they don't touch with a 10-foot pole, and they're kind of milquetoast on certain issues. But I don't see them doing a bad job. I'm not accusing them of being hypocritical. I just think that they have a position that is not radical enough. It's not going to solve our problem because they're looking to become a part of the establishment, just like all these offshoots party before them. And we're not going to be able to change anything with our rotten representative democracy that we have. We have to redo this from the ground up, and that's where we believe that National Socialism is the way to do that. It's uprooting this rotten tree and basically planting a new one. So I have no aggression or stuff negative against people that are affiliated with Alternative for Sweden, but I wish that they would look deeper into the global politics and stuff like that.
Okay, and we've got one more question for you guys, and it's a question directly for you, Andreas, and it's from Kelt again. He says, how do you stay so calm? I love your gentle humor, warmth, and humanity.
Well, I don't know, actually. It's different. I think I have all the aggression out during the day, and then when I sit down in the evening, I drink 3 cups of coffee. It really calms me down. No, I don't know. I'm a really calm guy. That's all I can say. I'm from the north. That explains a lot. We're very slow up here. It's not that we're retarded. It's just that we speak very slowly. And yeah, it's just how we are.
Okay, well, thank you. I do find you pretty calming, and I always do enjoy working with you. As I said, I'm really shocked about this BitChute thing, and I have written to them, and I've put this to them. Would you be willing, if they're willing, for me to put them in touch with you and you speak to them about these legal issues? Could we sort this out this way?
No, I'm not interested. I really despise them. I'm sorry.
Look, I hope you reconsider, because I do think the best way for nationalists to sort these things out is to open dialogue. And I had a problem the other week. I had a video that went up on BitChute that was actually restricted in the UK. They actually restricted it. I went to my own video and found it restricted, even though everything I said in it was completely legal. And I wrote to them and I spoke to them about it. And other people have had problems with this. Daughter of Albion, she had her channel temporarily banned on BitChute and restricted, and that was rescinded. So I do think you should reconsider that, Andreas. We are struggling, obviously, for anywhere to host our stuff, and I think we should have dialogue with these people, because I do believe that BitChute was something that started off with really good intent, and I think if we let ourselves be deplatformed, if we don't open up dialogue, we're kind of letting hope not hate win. And you know, there are groups putting them under pressure. So I hope I can get you to reconsider. I have definitely opened up dialogue tonight with their owner, and I'm going to try and speak to them. Whether you talk to them or not, it's obviously up to you, and I'll respect your answer on whatever you decide. But I'm going to try and get them to see some sense on this and talk to them over the next week. Because, I mean, I don't want you guys banned. I don't want to see Patriotic Alternative banned eventually. I don't want to see Jason banned. I already find it odd that if you look for any historical or revisionist content, it's all banned in the UK now on BitChute. And I find that I think we need to have a sit down with these people. And if we can't thrash things out, then I'll have to go with what you've said, and we should stop. We should obviously stop financially supporting them. But I do think we should always try our very best, you know, to get round the table first. But anyway, we are coming towards the end of this show, and it has been an absolutely incredible show tonight. So thank you so much for being on here, guys. And if you two can both give yourself a little bit of an outro, tell us where we can find your work and how we can support you. That'd be super appreciated.
Yes, you can find the Nordic Resistance Movement on nordicresistancemovement.org. That's where we post all of our articles, our videos, and our podcasts, if you want to check them out. We have a very long archive of different things. We have ideological articles that are written by members of the movement, and also the leader, Simon Lindberg, writes articles periodically that is being translated to the website. You can check out the Leadership Perspective, which is hosted by Simon Lindberg himself, a bi-monthly podcast that can be found on the website. It is also hosted on odyssey.com currently. And you can find The Nordic Frontier, which is the podcast that me and Alan run. We go live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, almost 8 o'clock. Sometimes things happen. But on Tuesdays, 8 o'clock Swedish time, we go for a show. And if you haven't listened to it before, it is a podcast that talks about news, talks about certain events going on in the world, and also about our politics, and mixing that into a nice bag. And we mix irreverent humor with serious contemplations about life and ideology. We play a lot of funny clips. Nowadays, when we're almost exclusively on odyssey.com, we have a TV show where we play a lot of clips and have fun with that. And there's also a live chat. We also have groups on Telegram. We have Nordic Resistance Movement group, and we also have a Nordic Frontier group, which was when we were banned from Spreaker, which was a podcast host that we used for 5 years almost. And we were banned from there. We moved over to something called peertube.se, and now eventually we've established ourselves on odyssey.com, which I always promote, because I haven't seen these backhanded issues yet on Odyssey. So I still promote them. There's a live chat there, but there's also a chat on Telegram that we used when we were banned from Spreaker to collect all the listeners, because it's a struggle to keep people moving platforms. But you can find us now on Telegram and on odyssey.com. So I think that summarizes most of it.
I'd just like to add that not only do we have all of that stuff, but since we feel that it's important to get to know your roots, we do have a show called Aristogenesis, and that's something that I participate in. The Telegram channel for that is Pagan Bookshelf. So you can search for that and find it there. You can also find Aristogenesis content on the movement's websites. So it'll be there under radio shows. And they're really long and very educational, very well researched. And yeah, and you can look forward to a new episode of that coming out sometime in June.
Okay, thank you so much. Jason, my friend, remind us who's on tap, where we can find you, when it is, and all the regular stuff you tell us at the end of a show.
Okay. Maybe we should do something different. I'll run around and set myself on fire. This one will go viral. Now, really want to thank Andreas and Alan for coming on. Two magnificent gentlemen, sober, reasonable, judicious individuals. And I think what has not been mentioned and should have been mentioned is Andreas, his palliative voice. It's absolutely perfect for a topic that is so serious, the recapture of our destiny as Western kind. So thank you both for coming on. We have Saturday evening over on No White Guilt on all of the different 9 or so platforms that we're on. Tap Saturday evening, Ricardo Duchesne will be with Jared George and myself, and really looking forward to that. Don't forget that Jared George today at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 hour from now, will be premiering over on his channel on YouTube. Jared George is the name of that channel. His brand new song, and we're very excited to hear that. It is, I've heard it already. It is really worth showing up for. Didn't mention earlier, another content creator that is in our community is Liv Hyde at whitedate.net. So check out Liv Hyde over there. Finally, I'll just say that I will be maybe live for just a little bit everywhere but YouTube and Facebook with some music and maybe some live commentary on True News, who has some different hosts, I'm told. But another big congrats to Mark on his stupendous victory, even in his haggard state against that piss pool. Congratulations, dear brother, and I'll pass it back to you.
Well, thank you so much, my friend. We've had great numbers watching tonight. We've had 900 on DLive, Odyssey, and Entropy, or just over 900, and just under 2,000 listening and watching on Radio Albion. So overall, just over 2,900 people tuning in tonight. Good numbers, as always, and certainly deserved by these two excellent fellows. As I said earlier, this video might not be on BitChute, so please make sure you sub to my Odyssey account and help spread this. And I'm going to put a statement out on the BitChute situation tomorrow when I've spoken to the people at BitChute. So let me speak to them first because I want to work this out. I don't want an unnecessary fallout going on here. I will be back on Friday for my scripted video, which is usually a BitChute exclusive, but and that's going to be on the Ryan Gondo situation. I will also be back on Sunday for the Call of Duty Warzone tournament. So if you're playing that, that will be exclusive on Odyssey. Make sure you've done the download. So that brings us to the close of the show. Thank you so much. Thank you to Andreas. Thank you to Alan. And thank you, as always, to Jason. It has been a fantastic show tonight. Thank you to everyone who donated so generously. And most of all, thank you to this amazing community. What a fantastic show it has been. And much love to all of those who've tuned in. This community is why we fight. What a wonderful evening. Thank you so much. Stay strong, keep fighting, and I will see you all again soon. Oh, and by the way, next week, show 109, it's Dr. David Duke. It will not be a show that you want to miss. Make sure you are here. PWR next week, 7 p.m. Wednesday, as always, Dr. David Duke. Hopefully, see you live then. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.